Hello, my name is Penina Bernstein. Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we will be studying Sefer Chavakuk Perek Aleph. What an amazing opportunity to begin learning together this incredible Sefer, one that is not often studied but contains much for us to learn from. Chavakuk is 3 chapters long, 56 verses, 6 breaks of paragraphs called Parshiot, and I am looking forward to learning it together with you. Our Sefer and chapter for today opens up with the following verse, Hamasa Asher Chaza Chavakuk Hanavi, the prophecy that Chavakuk the prophet prophesized. All of the commentators point out that this Sefer lacks biographical and contextual information. As the Ibn Ezra, the medieval Spanish commentator, says so explicitly, Lo yadanu doro velo mishpachto. We don't know his generation, namely his time period, and we don't know his familial background. Before we delve further into the actual prophecies of the prophet, let us take a short detour to discuss what the Midrashim share with us on when Chavakuk actually lived. The Zohar in Parshat Bishalach shares with us that Chavakuk was the child promised to the Shunammite women by Elisha the prophet in the 4th chapter of Malachim Bet. Elisha, when informing her that she would have a child, uses the terminology Lamoed Haza Ka'it Chaya At Choveket Ben. At this season, next year, you will embrace a son. The etymology of the word Choveket is understood to be a reference to the prophet we will be studying, Chavakuk, as the etymology of his name stems from that word. So, Chavakuk, according to the Zohar, was the son of the Shunammite woman who ultimately becomes extremely ill and is revived by Elisha the prophet. This would place him as a prophet during the time period of Elisha the prophet as well. Seder Olam Parachaf gives us a bit of a different contextual picture. Seder Olam, then quoted by the Radak, Rav David Kimchi from medieval France, tells us that Chavakuk lived during the reign of Menashe the king, 698 until 643 BCE. The Radak wonders as to why this information is not included. Why do we not know that Chavakuk prophesied during the reign of Menashe? And states that this was because Menashe was a terrible king, so terrible that he was not worthy of being associated with Chavakuk's prophecy. The Radak also shares that Chavakuk prophesied during the time period of 2 other prophets from Treyasar, Nahum and Yoel. Our Sefer is a fascinating conversation between Chavakuk and Hashem regarding the place of evil in the world and the way punishment and justice are carried out. More specifically, it is a dialogue based on Chavakuk's vision that the Babylonians, the Kastim, will come to destroy the children of Israel. According to Radak, our Sefer is a conversation about the successful evil actions that the Babylonians will inflict upon the righteous nation of Israel, and why Hashem is seemingly allowing this to take place. So now back to our Perek Aleph. Breaking down this first chapter into smaller sections, our first verse of the chapter would be the headline to the entire book. The next section of this chapter, verses 2-4, is the prophet's prayer to Hashem and response to what he is witnessing in his prophecy. Chavakuk calls out to Hashem, Ad ana Hashem, until when Hashem? Until when will I call out to you without a response? Rav Yosef Kra, a student of Rashi's from medieval France, explains Chavakuk's question as, until when will I call out to you, Hashem, about the harm that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylonia, will ultimately inflict upon Bnei Israel, without you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, acknowledging that you will save them? In many ways, Chavakuk's words bring us back to other individuals throughout biblical history, including Avraham, Moshe, Yehoshua, and ultimately Yirmiyahu HaNavi, who challenge Hashem about that which they perceive as injustice. In these first 4 psukim, Chavakuk even goes so far as to accuse Hashem of perverted justice. Al kein yetze mishpat me'ukal. Through this, perverted justice will emerge, wondering why Hashem is allowing the Rasha, namely Nebuchadnezzar, to harm the Tzaddik, namely Bnei Yisrael. The next section of the prophecy, verses 5-11, is where Chavakuk describes the actual atrocities that will take place at the hands of the Babylonians. He begins by stating, Habitu vihitamhu, observe and be astounded. As Habakkuk continues his message, that which is happening to Bnei Yisrael is shocking and astounding. He describes in detail what the Babylonians will do to harm Bnei Yisrael, including that they will march through the land of Israel to capture it, and then they will settle in it, that they will bring fear to Bnei Yisrael, that they will cause violence and will scoff at the kings of Israel. The Babylonian strength is emphasized as Pasuk Chet, verse 8, describes in detail the horses of the Babylonians, stating that V'kalu mine marim susa v'chadu mize'eve erev u'pashu parashav u'parashav mirachuk yavou ya'uvu kanasher chashel le'echo. That their horses are faster than leopards, stronger than wolves, and that although the horsemen come from far, they move swiftly to devour Bnei Yisrael. The Metzudat David, Rabbi David Altshuler of Prague, commenting on this pasuk, explains that specifically the fact that the horsemen will arrive from a distance, but will still remain hungry, is a reference to their strength and determination to cause harm, as typically animals and people are weak and tired following a long, arduous journey. In addition, he adds, commenting on the next verse, which states that the enemy is coming primarily to enact violence, that the Babylonians are not interested in the honor associated with a military victory, but rather are primarily interested in violence and destruction, and therefore plan to leave no enemy behind. The final section of this chapter is a plea to God that he enacts proper justice, providing salvation to the righteous and justice to the sinners. However, prior to his new questions to Hashem in verses 13 through 17, Habakkuk shares with us in verse 12, Halo atami kedem Hashem Elokai kidoshi lo namut Hashem lemishpat samto v'tzor lehochiach yisadito. Are you not everlasting, Hashem, that you are the one that ordains judgment and offers correction? This verse, verse 12, according to the Da'at Mikra, is an acknowledgement that these afflictions will take place due to Hashem's wisdom and decisions. It is an acknowledgement that the harm is not coming from the Babylonians, but rather that Hashem willed that bad to come. It is here, according to Rashi, that Habakkuk acknowledges that the attacks from the Babylonians are all from Hashem, and asks Hashem to ensure that Bnei Yisrael does not perish at the hands of the enemy. Even though Habakkuk seemingly provides himself with an answer to his questions, namely that God runs the world, he still continues to have questions for Hashem, and that is what is shared in verses 13 through 17. He returns to many of the reasons as to why he does not understand what is taking place in his vision, including that the Babylonians are sinners because they sacrifice to other gods, and that their own personal goal in destroying Bnei Yisrael is not to do Hashem's will, but rather to satisfy their own desires, as mentioned in verse 16. What we have learned today is a complex prayer by Habakkuk the prophet, which focused on the way that Hashem carries out justice in the world, and Habakkuk's bewilderment as to why it seems as though evil will succeed over the righteous during the reign of the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar. Our chapter tomorrow will pick up with Hashem's response to Habakkuk's questions and prayers. I want to leave you with one short thought, that what I find most powerful about Habakkuk's prophecy in this chapter is the honesty of his dialogue and expression. He is troubled by the prophecy that he has been given and does not comprehend Hashem's ways. However, instead of turning away from Hashem, Habakkuk turns towards Hashem, directing his questions and complaints towards him. In our own lives, we each have struggles and questions for Hashem, and Habakkuk's prophecy in this chapter encourages each of us to direct those questions directly towards him, knowing that he, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the one who possesses the answers. Thank you for studying together Le'iloi Nishmat Malka Esther Batzvi Yosef.